Stephen now begins teaching the principles associated with the 7 habits of highly effective people. First, he discusses habit 1, be proactive, and this habit's underlying principle of taking individual responsibility for our life and choices.
Now let us begin with the foundational habit, habit 1, be proactive. Habit 1, be proactive, basically means that your life is a product of your values, not your feelings. Again, that your life is a product of your values, not your feelings. Your life is a product of your decisions, not your conditions. To be proactive means you take the initiative to do whatever's necessary to make good things happen. In other words, you're the creative force of your own life. To use the computer metaphor, habit 1 is the awareness that you are the programmer. It is the budding awareness that the best way to predict your future is to create it. The opposite of being proactive is to be reactive, which basically means that your life is a function of your feelings, your moods, your impulses, or how other people treat you, such as taking out your anger on work associates or loved ones at home because you feel so frustrated. You feel victimized. You feel like you're under the control of other forces. Other people are doing it to you. They're doing you in. So you feel you have ample justification and reason to essentially say, I am what other people have made of me. I am what my past has made of me. I am what is happening to me from all around today. See, and then not to take responsibility.
I grew up in a family that was very reactive. So it was a very painful and conscious process as an adult for me to learn to be a proactive person.
In my family, when there's a conflict, you fight. You yell, you scream, whoever's loudest wins, and you don't talk for 3 days. And then it just gets glossed over and you go on with your lives and it's never mentioned again. And when I started dating my husband, he did something that made me really mad. And so of course I yelled and I screamed and was very voracious about it. And he just listened to me very carefully and nodded and said, I'm sorry, that was really inconsiderate of me. And I didn't know what to do. I said, I don't know what to do now. No one ever gave me that kind of response. You're supposed to yell back, see? And then we do this for a couple of days and it's over. And so that was a very clear picture that between the stimulus and the response, I had something to do there. I had a choice to make.
Habit 1 is the habit of awareness that I am a separate person from all that has happened to me, including all of my feelings, my moods, even my genetic makeup, and so forth. The underlying principle of Habit 1, be proactive, is to take responsibility. The concept is, you and I have the capacity to choose our response. I am responsible. I am response-able. But see, it's much easier to say, I am not responsible, than to say, I'm irresponsible. Again, let's define habit 1. Be proactive as the capacity to subordinate impulses, words, feelings, conditions to values based on principles. You know, we're tested every day in many little ways in the ordinary things in our life. And if we are proactive in those things, it gradually develops extraordinary capability in handling major setbacks or disappointments. We learn that we have the power to choose our attitude. We have the power to choose our own response in any given set of circumstances we can do nothing about. For instance, Viktor Frankl, the Austrian psychiatrist, imprisoned in the death camps of Nazi Germany because he was a Jew, experienced unbelievable indignities and tortures. He was raised in the Freudian tradition that you're basically a product of your childhood and that you can do nothing about it. While he was in the death camps, he began to observe some very interesting things. Some people acted as animals, and others acted as saints in the same circumstances. He himself experienced terrible things. Some of his own loved ones were cremated, and he expected perhaps the same fate for himself, but for some reason they saved him for experimental purposes. One day they stripped him naked, put him under white light, and began to perform those ignoble sterilization experiments upon his body. This is when he discovered what he called the last of the human freedoms. That is, the power to choose one's own response to any condition, to anything that happens. And he cultivated a sense of meaning and self-awareness so that during his very torture, he saw himself in his imagination lecturing to his students in Austria following his release from the death camps about the very experiences he was having at the time, about the insights and learnings he was acquiring. And he came to postulate that the highest value of all is to choose your attitude in situations over which you have no control. In other words, between what happens to us, the stimulus, and our response to the stimulus is a space. In that space lies our freedom and power to choose our response. And in those choices lie our growth and our happiness. Let me say that again, because this is so fundamental. Between what happens to us, the stimulus, and our response to the stimulus is a space. In that space lies our freedom and power to choose our response. And in those choices lie our growth and our happiness. This is what Viktor Frankl discovered, and through exercising his memory, that is his self-awareness, and his imagination, and his conscience, by asking questions such as, what is this situation asking of me, instead of, what do I ask of it? Why are they doing this to me? And so forth. And also by exercising his own independent will, this freedom within became greater and greater until his freedom was, in a sense, greater than his Nazi captors, not his liberty. You see, liberty is a condition of the environment, of the external environment. Freedom is a condition of the person, of one's internal power to exercise options. We have control over our freedom, but we do not, in the short run, have control over our liberty. However, in many situations, not necessarily all, the more you control your freedom and expand and deepen it, eventually it will influence the liberty in your life, that is, the options, the alternatives that are available to you. In other words, eventually your head will create your world. Your response to the stimulus will eventually influence the stimulus. And to some degree, Viktor Frankl experienced that. Dr. Frankl also tried to look at the hypothesis of what enabled these people in the death camps to survive. Was it their survival skills? No, that was secondary. Was it their intelligence? Again, secondary. Was it their present health? Again, secondary. These things were eventually equalized and lost. They helped a little initially, but eventually they were gone. The thing that enabled survival was a vision of the future, a sense of meaning about a work yet to do, a contribution yet to make. And this became the basis for his brilliant autobiographical account of these experiences called Man's Search for Meaning. So we must not let the things we can do nothing about interfere with the things we can do a great deal about. Because remember, between stimulus and response is our greatest power, our freedom to choose.
This completes the first CD. Please insert the second CD to continue with the program.